Hello, patrons. We are here for the post-show for episode 16 of Roleplay Blades. Shit has gone down. The goddess has been consorted with. People have been murdered in the street. Quellen has confessed secrets. All kinds of shit in this
episode. Yeah, there was a lot of subplot in this. Great.
Yeah, that was. That was fun. That was good. One thing I promised was to reveal a little behind the scenes action here. The session started with Careless Firm rolling to consort with the goddess in exchange for power. And I made up a little custom move here for that, and with different outcomes depending on how well that roll went. And he just avoided the failure state, the 1-3 state, which was 3 ticks on the ire of the goddess clock, which would have filled it, and then some, which would have cut him off easily from her attentions and powers until he restored that relationship. So that's bad on its own. But to get the power, because I thought it'd be more fun if on a failure, like, she still would grant power in exchange for a price instead of like, nothing happens, right? That's kind of boring. So the idea for the whole move was the goddess wanted life, wanted life force, energy, et cetera, in order to achieve some of her goals. And you got the 4-5 result, which was drawing on Careless's vast experience in combat and other things to dole out to some of her other cultists where it's needed. But on a failure, she was going to demand a life, a sacrifice for in the name of vengeance to right a wrong that was kind of hovering in your sphere that she felt you had left unaddressed. So she was going to demand the sacrifice of Margette as payment for your war. So you dodged that bullet. Or Margette dodged that bullet, I suppose you could say. Would have been awkward, to say the least, with the rest of the crew, Rune in particular, probably. So, good job. It worked out just fine.
This is another, I kept thinking this whole episode, is like, this is a good example of everyone who thinks that this show is too easy, and it's like, or the you know, rule set's too easy, but it's like, we just took on 6 guys plus 2, like the Hull and the Spirit Warden. They're all tier 4. We're tier 1, you know, and we just rolled crits when we need to, resist when we need to. Like, there were a couple bad rolls, but the really important ones, it's like, we're just like hitting those success rolls. That's pretty good. I think there's only like, last episode we had, I forget what move it was, but there was something where I really needed a 6 and I didn't get it. But this whole time I was just thinking, this is why this seems too easy for people, because we are fighting people who are much like far above our station, and yet we're still coming out on top. Yeah. I mean, and then when I was like, I'm going to roll this, my indulge vice, even though I only have 2 stress, I'm for sure going to overindulge. Like, I knew. And then I roll a 2 and it's just like the most perfect. That was like stupid. It was great.
You had in your head too your whole plan for how you're gonna play it out. Yeah. It's gonna cause. But you're like,
Me too, because you're overindulging at the tattoo parlor, which is like the nexus of that thing. And I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so good. It's gonna like,
I knew. I was like, I'm putting myself in danger. Nope, rolled a 2.
Just another day.
That's so great.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair too, yes, you guys, your dice are hot when they need to be hot, which is super fun. But also, you're smart. Like, we got to see like the Voltron component of The Last Word today, where it was like, I'm going to pull the plate off and you're going to shoot it and you're going to hit it with lightning and, you know, and I'll form the head. And like, everyone like came together in this tactical way instead of it being this kind of wild skirmish. We've seen you guys involved in these sometimes confusing skirmishes. And this felt like everyone was doing their role well and thinking smart, that you wasn't just like, oh, let's just fight the thing. You know, you came up with a plan to make it vulnerable and yada, yada, yada. So that was cool. It was really neat to see everyone's little bit of the tactics come together and overcome that problem. Because without that, even with good roles, you were going to be banging against the Hull and doing very little to hurt it. And So yeah, it was brains and dice together.
Heyo.
Pretty great.
Nice. Can I just throw something out? Does anyone else, is it just me? Maybe it is, but I find battles to be much less stressful and easier to deal with when there is actually a visual map.
Hmm.
Yes. Is that like being able to look at it and be like, okay, I know what my character can do. Here are my options. I can ask these questions. I mean, like, granted, in a role play I've played on some campaigns where it's like maps galore, other campaigns where it's like not necessarily needed, can draw some rough maps. For Blades especially, I don't know. Just, I guess, well done to you, John, and just my own preference. But that's certainly helped in a lot of situations.
Yeah, I
agree. I think it's always great to have a visual. There's always a danger of like fetishizing the map too much and forgetting that you're in a real place and being like, well, I can't do that because there's this thing on the map. And like, no, well,
right.
You can kind of stand on top of that. It's okay. But I don't think we're in much danger of that. Especially, I try to keep maps very vague. Like, here's a square where a building is, and you know, it's less restrictive. That maybe there is a window over there. It's fine. There can be a window.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, I guess that's kind of up to the players to sort of ask questions and whatnot. Yeah. And you know, by contrast, I was thinking about the fight that we had in Salia's place that burnt down, which was like, you know, attackers from this side, two levels, you know, half doors. And like, I just remember being like, oh man, like the way I think this place looks in my mind is probably totally different from what it actually is. But you know, it's just a interesting thing I've noticed as we've played for weeks.
Like with the boats and how confused we were with the two boats. And yeah, a map would have been good there.
No, yeah, and that's because of those fights that I had a map today, because I was like, man, we need to change how we're doing this. It's just because it's another one of those subtle. It's not subtle actually. It's very explicit, but it's just a little turn between playing on a tabletop face to face and playing on Twitch. Even when you're not drawing maps on the tabletop, just being in the same room lets you communicate space in some way, just by gestures or by, I don't know, general communication face to face is just clearer, and it's easy to forget that there's so much lost, so much noise in the signal, so to speak.
Mm.
A little map like this makes a huge difference. And
yeah.
So I will definitely keep doing that in the future. And also trying to do the combo thing. I think the ideal thing for me is to have like a cool piece of art about that place and then also have a simple map. So the art kind of inspires you for what type of place it is. Is it all overgrown with roots, or is it, you know, pristine, or is it, there's there water, stuff like that. And then the map is like specific positioning of everything. I think we'll keep it for sure. It didn't seem to slow things down at all. It seemed to kind of maybe
speed up, actually.
Right.
What'll be really cool is at some point, hopefully, because Roll20 has a lot of integration, so I'm hoping that at some point we can have the stress trackers and stuff that we currently have kind of tied to your tokens. So we have them, we can do both at once, and we don't have to switch between the sort of stress view and the battle view. We can have everything on one screen. That'll be great.
I wanted to speak to something that actually happened in the chat during one of the moments. I think it was during the Aldo Quellen moment. People were, I've always hated the term cringe, but I see it in chat from time to time. And I just wanted to like just real quick address it. We're like professional streamers and or online personalities and that kind of stuff. We thick skin for sure all the way around, but I want to stress the fact that there are people out there who are really trying to put themselves out there playing role-playing games in front of people, and they don't have as thick a skin, and they might be like have cause for, you know, like self-doubt and that kind of stuff. When people do that, it's a negative thing when you do that to other people. And I don't like that. I can handle it because I have a thick skin and I can dish it out as well. Yeah. But I would like to just say, like, that's just, it's a negative thing, and it negatively impacts the role playing as a, like, as a community and that kind of stuff. So,
well, and if you imagine, like, literally anything that you feel nervous putting yourself out there for, like, if you make music and you want to perform, like, in person or whatever, and that, you know, you're nervous about it, you're not sure how you're going to feel. And if you imagine that there was, like, someone there who was, like, cringe while you're, like, trying to, you know, perform a song or something like that, you know, like, I don't know, putting yourself in kind of the shoes of the people who are trying to create something for you to enjoy.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because people will say to that, they'll be like, there will be someone, you know, there is someone in that audience, and they will heckle or they won't like it. And it's like, okay, and that's fine, and I get it. We are performers, so it's entertainment to you. But it's a weird medium where, like, we're reading those comments. We're right here, and like Zeke's saying, we have thick skin because we actually are subjected to this and everything we do all day long. So it's nothing new to us. But it's just like, I like that Zeke took this moment to just once again kind of put out there that while we are entertainers, if you want to say that, know that we'll read it. If you don't care, there's not much we can do to stop you. You'll do that. And that musician setting up, if you're the kind of person that's like, cringe and fucking blah, Tom Petty's better, you know, like, okay. Like, guy or girl, it's like, I would just ask that maybe you consider not being that person, you know, and if your first argument is, well, you're going to have to deal with it someday. Sure. But maybe you don't dip it out, you know, just think about it. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, maybe we prevent, like, maybe we prevent, or excuse me, what it does or can do is prevent other people from wanting to express themselves in an emotional manner in front of people. And that's not good. We don't want any of that. So I think we, like, personally, like, I'm not, like, we, you know, blow each other all the time, you know, after shows and stuff like that.
But what?
I mean, like, just like, you know, pump each other up and say how great we are and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I know, I choose my words.
And it's like, before I sign off on this.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think this crew in particular leads by example pretty well, that we don't have as many walls, you know, stopping us from really trying to get into an emotional side of role playing.
Yeah, well, I like you said,
like that moment you and Anne had. Part of the reason why it was so special is because it's really fucking hard to act out a scene like that if you're going to actually try to act it out. And that, to me, is still one of the absolute highlights of the show in all 16 weeks we've had. So I'm glad that this group feels comfortable and bold to do that, because, like I was saying at the time, it's actually easier to be funny and goofy. Like, that's not really a risk. We can all do that very easily. But to actually act out a scene where you're emotionally hurt and distraught, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, really good. And I agree totally, Zeke, that we do have thick skins. We can take it. That shouldn't give people permission to act like shit, because it does that as part of our community. You know, we want that community to stretch across to people who are new to it, like you were saying, give them, you know, some confidence to try things and not be shit on all the time. But also, the other part of this that you get sometimes is that it reflects on you. Like, it doesn't make us look bad. Like, if I'm doing a funny voice or something and someone is like, oh, this is cringy in chat, that doesn't hurt my feelings or make me look bad. It makes you look like a tool.
Yeah.
So, like, it does actually, even in cases where it's not going to affect the performers, it's bad for you. It just makes you look horrible in front of everybody in chat. And even if you don't care about other people's feelings, like, you need to be aware that if you're trying to be a part of a community on a Twitch stream or in a forum or whatever, like, those kind of comments are not a way to make friends and for people to think you're cool. It's bad for you. It makes you look really horrible. So,
you know, that old saying, those that can't do teach. There should be like an extra part, like, those that can't do but really deep down want to heckle.
Those who can't do troll. I think that's accurate. It comes from a place of fear and insecurity. Those kind of comments always do. There's always some issue that they're struggling with that they decide to lash out.
I think everything you've said is hilarious, and I just want to, or is like spot on. And I just want to say that what I think is hilarious is that at this point, like, cringe has been used so much that, like, what is it even anymore? Like, apparently every second on Twitch has some element of cringe, according to Twitch chat as it stands. So I don't know what it is anymore, man. They've messed up my meter. Everything is just normal to me now.
Yeah,
that's right. We're desensitized. There is no cringe anymore. It's meaningless.
If everything is cringe, nothing is.
That's right. Right? Exactly. And I think
to tag that with a positive note is don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Well, and like, I mean, how much different would the show be if JP, after the first episode, hadn't said, you know what might be kind of cool? Would be if you did an accent for Rune. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Like, I've never done that before. It makes me uncomfortable, whatever. And he was like, you should just try it and like see if you like it or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, and that for me, I think really rooted my feeling of like being Rune at certain times in the show, because it's like talking differently and really being deliberate about what I'm saying, because I have to like think about how to say it with an accent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so if I had been afraid to RP that, the show would be a lot different for me. I would probably feel less connected with Rune.
Yeah.
And I honestly think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you talk an accent, it helps you personally, and it helps you be snappier with your comments.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of sassy just in general. So
you are. Yes. You know, that is true. That is true.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned like one-liners today. Those are pretty fun, the one-liners.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there was some good banter today for sure.
We do the one-liners.
Yeah.
And you guys are all doing voices, you know, even like Jeff isn't doing an accent per se, but he basically, like, it's a very hard
cadence of his voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
And it helps. I think it helps. I would even recommend for streamers, and I back away from doing it often because I don't want to create too much. I have a lot of characters and I don't necessarily want to keep track of all their accents and stuff.
Yeah.
Or on you guys on your toes because you have distinct voices. But for performers who are doing stuff on Twitch, I think it really helps having that hard break between your own voice and your character's voice, because if you listen to MP3s or something, even like it's easier to hear when the in-character stuff is happening and when
it's easier for your cast too, the other people that you're talking to, they know when they're talking to Rune versus when it's out of character.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think it's great. And I've always had that policy at my tables in real life and everything else. Like anytime, if someone wants to do an accent or play a weird character concept or whatever, like always go for it first and then dial back if you decide you don't like it or it's just but don't stop before you start, you know. Go ahead and try.
Definitely. Marcus had a character in Swan Song, Piani Pick, and like one of the jokes was, I'm not sure Marcus can speak to this, but it started off I think as just one accent, but it kind of became all of the English islands together. Yes. And some people were like, man, that's a bad accent. And then it became canon, though, where they're like, no, that's actually, she talks that way because, of course, that far in the future with all the cultures intermingling, that's how she fucking talks. And then it was immediately never asked again. It was just completely fine. That was canon. I think Marcus got way into it. It was really funny for the character.
It's the same thing with this game. Aldo and Rune are not English. They're Akarosi. Mm-hmm. So that's the accents they have. They're not English accents technically. they're perfectly accurate, spot on Duskwall accents, and that's how it is.
There's no wrong accent, basically, is what Jeff is saying. There literally is no, because it's a fucking fantasy game where you can make up anything. It's awesome. You should try it sometime.
I know. That was I have every day. I have my like small little 30 moments of pure rage. One of them today was someone was like, well, going outside and fighting the Greycoats that's not very vicious. That's more suicidal. And I was like, in my head, I didn't say anything, but in my head, I'm like, well, fair enough to you. But to my character, that's fucking vicious, actually. So,
in our land make believe where we're using our wood to describe our magics, I think it's fine, actually.
Yeah.
Guess who gets to decide that? It's not you.
Right.
And they don't mean, you know, the funny thing too is words on a screen.
Yeah.
I've noticed this in my own self or in particular. It's so funny because, like, you know, you're getting it from so many different directions that a lot of times that statement, which is completely innocuous, it's not a, it's, there's no venom there, it's not mean, but you can end up taking it a little bit more serious than it's meant to be. Whereas if that person is in person, they're like, that's more suicidal. You know, you're not going to get mad at that person saying it like that because the voice inflection and you can see the way they're talking. So,
yeah.
As I get older on the internet, so I'm trying to learn to also be like, you know what? And then when their follow-up statement is like, Jeff's fat, I hate him, he's a fucking idiot. No, but okay. There's actually no voice inflection that saves that one.
Yeah, well, that's what we get, right? We're putting ourselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
For the entertainments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
And we will all endeavor to do better in that regard. And you can too, chat.
Well, yeah, I think I just want more and better role players.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
More and more and more. There's no, we're never going to run out of gaming opportunities. So might as well fill them all. Well, cool. Is there anything else does someone want to mention about the session or anything before we wrap it up? Is that good?
Excited for more.
Yeah. Me too. Preceptor Dunville is getting up in your biz.
I like the introduction. I'm excited to go back and talk to the group about how he just kind of made himself known. That's the right up that future, man.
They're not all just waiting around to be murdered, you know. They're doing stuff.
I'm actually looking forward to next week and trying to repair like my relationship with Rune.
Mm-hmm.
If you can.
Well, you have something that that's wants, right. So that helps.
Mm.
The mask.
Right, yeah. I know. Yeah. But I was actually thinking about that. Like, honestly, like, it just, your imagination runs wild, but, you know, when you let it, I'm like, man, Alder should, like, bedazzle that and or something. Like, get back and, like, look what I did for you.
You just write her real name on it, like, in the description.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Just go ahead and dig that grave.
Well, guys, it's almost 5 o'clock and Anne's internet's going to cut out, so we should
probably... I know.
Yeah.
The guillotine will fall. No more internet for you. That's what it feels like.
All right. Well, we will get out while we can.
Cool.
Thank you, patrons, for supporting the show. Thank you, as always, JP, for producing. And thank you guys for being an amazing cast. And we will see everyone next time for Roleplay Blades. Thanks for watching.
Bye. Bye.